Righto, from Shaw and Partners, Andrew Callagher, good morning.
Yeah, very good morning, Mike.
The good news returns to dairy.
It sure does. A wee sigh of relief, I think, for the old dairy farmers out there. So global dairy trade auction overnight. Context here is that we've seen a series of weak auctions. That's seen the prices in the the key commodities fall. So you've had negative price action since March generally, but really it's the important sort of commodities that we're looking at. Skim milk powder is the key here. That had seen a very strong rally and had helped lift the overall index since December. It's come off the boil, though. Eight auctions since March with really only two positive auctions. And as a result of that, Fonterra had reduced the forecast farm gate milk price to a midpoint of $9.25. But at the moment, that's only a sort of a modest reduction. Good news overnight, though, in that the global dairy trade price index has risen 1.5%. So the negative outcomes have stopped in the key commodities. Look, quite a range of outcomes across the various categories, but skim milk powder up 2.8%, whole milk powder up 1.6%. Then you had a bunch of other mozzarella up 1.3%. Cheddar was down 6.5%. Then anhydrous milk fat was up 1.1. What's sort of quite sobering, Mike, is sort of various estimates we've heard over what the break-even price is for the average dairy farm Yeah, and it seems to be in the eights. Well, if you're at $9.25 now, the midpoint, we really don't want to see that forecast price come down any lower, really, do we? So good news overnight, though, it looks like the momentum, that negative momentum has at the moment, stalled and hopefully plateaued.
What did you make of the 4.1?
Oh, there we go. A big, exciting day, inflation day. Yeah, 4.1. Look, pretty good outcome, really. So annual inflation, 4.1. The June 26 quarter was 1.5. Now, the previous in March, the annual number is 3.1, so it seems quite a bit higher, but not as bad as had been feared. Remember when we were talking high fours, you know, 4.9s, but a little bit higher than estimates. Look, if we break it down into the non-tradable, the domestic stuff, and the tradable, the imported stuff, tradable inflation 4.9%, non-tradable 3.4%. So the 4.9% lift you're seeing in the non-tradable, that's the fuel effect. Yep. The petrol and diesel, the culprits there, no real surprises. Petrol, the biggest contributor on an annual basis, up 27.5%. So that added about a quarter of the 4.1%, that increase that we saw, about a quarter of that came from petrol. Look, diesel was up a lot more, 71%, but we don't use as much petrol as diesel, doesn't factor in quite as much. If you take the petrol out of it, Mike, here's the interesting numbers. Inflation would have been 2.9%.
Exactly.
But for the quarter, it would have been 0.5%. So if you annualise that, you get 2. So, you know, so actually sort of puts it into context a little bit. There was some other things going on, though. Electricity, so these are the culprits we've been talking about for a long time. Electricity up 12%. Local authority rates up 8.8%. But here's the interesting one. Construction of new housing was up 2.7%. That's probably the surprise item of the release yesterday. We really haven't seen much in the way of inflation in the housing category, but it looks like the impact of higher fuel prices has been passed through quite quickly into things like building costs, you know, tradies basically charging you for their travel time and their travel costs. So that's the largest rise we've seen in that category since December 22. Now, in the afternoon yesterday, Mike, the RBNZ released their models. So they have a thing called the factor model, the sectoral factor model. These are looking at core inflation. They've come in at 3.1, 2.7. So much lower than headline CPI, but still higher than the target, steady. So core inflation, which is really what the bank worries about, much lower than the headline stats. On the day, wholesale rates in the wholesale market had a small fall, so the market certainly wasn't freaked out about it. But the key issue here, Mike, that even though core inflation, you know, is a lot lower than what we're seeing at the headline, it's still too high from the RBNZ point of view. They've very clearly articulated that high headline number affects inflation expectations and potentially puts pressure on core inflation.
So what do you say to September and December?
Yeah, I think they will. I just can't see enough in yesterday's numbers to sway the RBNZ from their stated objective of normalising monetary policy. So I think you probably get another couple before Christmas.
Speaking of the numbers, lay them on me.
Yeah, sure. Well, actually looking slightly better, despite the fact that oil has gone up more overnight. The Dow Jones is up 0.69%, 360 points, 52,199. The S&P 500 is up 0.9%, 66.7509. And the NASDAQ up 1.35%, As we look at it, 25,000, what are we looking at? 854. Now, the FTSE 100 gained 61 points overnight, 0.58%, 10,585. The Nikkei bounced back 3.26%, 66,232. The Shanghai Composite also bounced back 1.79%, 3864. The Aussies only up 2 points yesterday, fairly quiet day, 8793. We lost 40 points, 0.29%. On the NZX 50, 13,656. One Kiwi dollar, relatively stable through yesterday, 0.5832 against the US, 0.8324 Aussie, 0.5113 against the Euro, 0.4357 against the Quid, 95.08 Japanese Yen. Gold trading at $4,067, and unfortunately Brent crude through the $90 mark, $91.05. That is the problem.
It is not good news. All right, have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.